In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. This Sunday, which is known by several titles, it's the third Sunday of Pascha, or the second Sunday after Pascha, but it's also known as the Sunday of the Holy and Righteous Myrrh-Bearers. And we commemorate them, and we actually celebrate them, not just the righteous myrrh-bearers, the women that were there at the tomb, but also Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And we heard their names commemorated this morning in the Orthros, last night at Vespers, this morning at Orthros, at the small entrance, to remind us of these individuals. And so you may ask the question, who are these individuals? Who were they? What did they do? These people, the women and the men that were at the tomb, that were in the events surrounding our Lord's resurrection and the time after, were people that exemplified perfect love, true courage, and faithfulness towards their friend. Not just their teacher, but their friend, their Lord, Jesus Christ. And when we read the gospel, not just what we heard today, but a bit before that and even after that, it seems like that we know very little about them, and they're hardly mentioned in the gospel and in the scriptures. Almost really as a passing note on the way to Christ's resurrection and the post-resurrection appearances of Christ and the events surrounding that. But what faith and what love that the myrrh-bearing women and Joseph and Nicodemus showed during a time that was, as we hear in the gospel, a time that the people were at fear of the religious authorities. They were scared. They were fleeing. Many went to hide. What loyalty and devotion that they showed. They in fact did not abandon Christ. There were others that did, but they did not. Even when it may have seemed that all hope was lost. So these women, along with Joseph, went and risked their lives to take Christ from the cross, to lovingly wrap him in linen, as we heard, that Joseph offered what he had, the finest that he had, and to lay him in a new grave, into a tomb that Joseph had. And when all of the others were hidden away or had run away for fear of the religious authorities, as I said, when all had abandoned Christ, the Messiah that they had heard about, the Messiah that they had brought palm branches to, the Messiah that they had followed to Jerusalem, they abandoned him. It was these small group of women and these two individuals, these two men, who risked everything out of their love for Christ to bring their offering, the myrrh and the sweet spices that we heard about. And so as it was that through a woman, the Theotokos, that God came into the world, it was to these women, the myrrh-bearing women, that the resurrection was first revealed. It was in this way that their true love, devotion, and courage was rewarded by God. Because again, while most were in fear of their lives behind locked doors, these individuals, these women and Joseph and Nicodemus, faithful to Christ and out of love for their friend, were amazed to behold the empty tomb and to hear the words for the first time ever, the words that we say so many times during this period, "He is risen. He is not here. He is risen." What an awesome mystery it is even to us today, but certainly to those back then. We all know the joy that we feel at Pascha. So how profound must have been their joy in beholding the resurrection of Christ just in the hours, the days after his crucifixion. Without their bravery, however, they would not have witnessed such an amazing thing. What they did, if you think about it, really was absolutely amazing. Their friend, their teacher, their Lord was just killed in a horrible and very public manner. They themselves were suspects and in danger of arrest at any moment. Their very lives were in danger. Why did they not flee as others did? Why did they not go hide behind locked doors as others did? And why would they go to the sepulchre, to the tomb, when they knew that the entrance was blocked by this very large stone, that it would be impossible for them to move or to look in or to see behind it? Which one of us would have done this? Which one of us would have taken these risks and gone, even knowing that there's no way we could have gotten in to see? There's nothing that could have been seen, and we would have been in danger for our lives. They did not expect anything like the resurrection. Yet what they did was out of, as I said, pure love and devotion, despite the risks. And as far as they knew, they had nothing to gain for what they did, but yet everything to lose. So the message is that they went to the tomb out of a pure love and devotion for Christ. They went to the place where they thought he would be lying there, dead, out of love and devotion for him. And this really is an example for us today. Because if we really reflect on the actions of these brave women, couldn't we say that their bravery and devotion can often put us to shame? You see, it's easy for us as Christians living in this country, in relative comfort here in the United States in particular, but even in the West, where we face no real persecution or martyrdom. We know that Christ is risen. We already know of the empty tomb. All of these things have been revealed to us. And unlike the myrrh-bearing women and Joseph and Nicodemus venturing out into the dark early on that first morning of Pascha, we have witnessed 2,000 years of saints and holiness, the proof of the resurrection, and the spiritual riches of the church and the fruits of a life in Christ. That's what we have experienced. They certainly had not experienced that. We know this. They did not. But yet their love and devotion took them there, brought them there. Do we do that? How often are we tepid in our faith? How often is our own devotion to Christ lukewarm? Going through the motions, saying our prayers, coming to church as if it's an obligation. We often, and I certainly speak for myself as well, we often lack the burning love, the faith and devotion that the myrrh-bearing women and Joseph and Nicodemus showed that day. The firmness of soul, the pure devotional heart of these individuals. You see, their faith in God drove away the fear that they had and proved stronger than anything else. And what happened when they got to the tomb? The stone was rolled away, as we heard, and all the obstacles to see Christ, to see if he was there or not there, were gone. The stone was rolled away, the obstacles were removed, and something new and wondrous, and as the gospel said, amazing, was happening. You see, it was not the myrrh bearers that anointed Christ that day. It was Christ that anointed them. His rising, the action, the event that he said would happen, happened. That's what anointed the myrrh bearers. That's what anointed Joseph and Nicodemus. That's what anointed the followers of Christ. And that's what anoints us today, the mystical body of Christ. From then on, every Christian then was to be a myrrh-bearer, just as the myrrh-bearing women and Joseph and Nicodemus. Each and every one of us is called to be a myrrh-bearer. Each and every one of us is called to bring our love and our devotion to the church, to the body of Christ. Whatever we do, the ministries that we offer, the things that we bring, the people that we minister to, we are myrrh-bearers. All of the life of the church and all her sacraments bestow a spiritual myrrh on all who believe in him and all who strive to die in Christ so that they might also rise with him in his resurrection. You see, the spiritual myrrh is not only the sense of acquiring spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, love and humility and peace and so on, although these are very important and essential in our lives as Christians, but even the very relics of our saints and the icons in our churches exude a heavenly and sweet-smelling myrrh. And we've heard about this time and time again with the myrrh-bearing icons or visiting the relics of saints. This is a very real and tangible reminder of God's grace active in this world even to today. It is an important reality for us to consider that we cannot totally and completely remove these obstacles, these heavy stones of sin, of ignorance, of indifference from our life. Because you see, only God can do that by His grace, by His love, and by His forgiveness. But He will only do this if we come to His tomb early in the morning, just as the myrrh-bearing women did, ready to be crucified with Him, ready and willing to stop clutching on to these familiar stones, these boulders, these rocks, these obstacles, so that we too may be raised with Him. So then, let us all imitate the beautiful and courageous faith of the holy myrrh-bearing women, of Joseph of Arimathea, of Nicodemus, never fearing to fulfill the will of Christ, and never fearing to be disciples of Christ in this world. For Christ has indeed conquered. For Christ is risen. Amen.